Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all indulge in a Spanish Grenache as they try Viñas Orzal's Malayeto. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Tonight is not just any night.
It isn't?
It's tonight.
Oh, well, yes, tonight is tonight, but that doesn't mean it's something special.
Well, it's just not any other night.
Isn't every night special when we're gathered together?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think it is.
Mm-hmm. When you're surrounded by your nearest and dearest.
Yeah, that's true. Where's Bo? Oh, he's not here. He's on the couch.
Look out.
I know.
He acts like he has a hard life.
I know.
It's hard being as energetic and loving and needing of affection as he is.
That's true.
And we had the cats inside today, and he was outside. And anytime he would spot him in the window, he would lose his mind. It was... Kind of amazing.
That and Sally is under the impression that she just can be indoors whenever she wants and sleeps inside now.
That started.
Yeah.
A couple Saturdays ago.
I was trying to walk up the stairs upstairs and she was laying across the step, rolling around, meowing, happy. I was like, I'm not.
I think she sleeps in the guest bedroom.
I think she does too. I'm not going in there. I don't know. She's not like she's litter trained or something like that. I don't even know if she's trained or anything. It's just, you know, whatever.
She's a feral.
She is somewhat. Nevertheless, also on the show from the Eastern Bloc is the Triple B.
Good evening. Friday night, we watched Hunt for Red October.
We did. And you didn't need any subtitles.
Yeah. And Rob, multiple times, was like, is it comforting for you to hear your native tongue? Yeah. Is it?
And then I was drinking a bottle of port and I passed out half the time. So.
And so many times I was like, Rob, this is such a good part. Wake up.
Yes.
It's a great movie.
You're like, the Russians are going to win. Oh. She got sad at the end. She wanted them to stop Captain Ramius.
Stop. I did not.
I know.
It just is a great, great movie. It holds up. How old is it? 30 years?
Is it 89 or 90?
It's old.
Yeah. About 30 years
old. It really
old.
Does hold up.
Oh, great movie.
Very well.
Great
it's
movie.
It's so good. The only thing that I think is like kind of jank is at the end where Alec Baldwin and Sean Connery are up on top of the submarine and the backdrop is like... kind of bad, but that's really the only part of it that's not
the
great.
River they're in is just a little bit wide
and it's like
just a little bit
it's like once it I don't know, it's just very stagnant for it to be live, but anyways, it's very, very good.
I believed it. Nevertheless, on tonight
this weekend
yes, on tonight's show though, we have a wine from Spain, actually. Very interesting wine that we've had in the queue for quite some time. It's just always in the green room and then just gets passed over. And it's from Navarra in Spain, which isn't too far from Rioja. Let's see, it would be northeast of Rioja, but right against it. And this is Viñas Orzal, their Malayeto. And it is 100% Grenache. It's one of these wines that... it's out there. You see it on wine.com or whatever, and it gets some sort of crazy high review, which the Triple B will probably discuss after a bit. And you go, wow, I think I want to buy that. And so then you do. And then you go, wow, this wine isn't as good as the review says it is.
Hey, how do we know that?
Because we've bought several wines like that. Normally it's the decanter doing that to us.
So does that mean that I'm not going to be the only Russian judge this evening?
No. Well, if you give it an 84, yes.
I will say it has a bird on the label.
It does. That's the other thing. It has an animal on the label.
I noticed that right away. And I was
but it also has
like...
Robert Parker on the score, on the high score.
It does. Scott, question. Will you agree, just for a point,
that
a bird is an animal?
Because
you disagreed with a snake being an animal before.
It's an amphibian.
Which is an animal.
Okay, but...
No, okay. The answer is yes. I will agree that a bird is an animal.
But I don't think amphibians are part of our label mantra that animals are bad wines, except for amphibians.
Yes, but I don't care about...
Stag's leap.
I'm talking about, is a bird an animal? Yes, that's the answer. And regardless of whether or not it's bad luck for the label.
They're a different kind of animal.
I was going to say birds.
Yes, a bird is an animal.
Birds aren't amphibians.
No, they're not. But Scott didn't know that until you just told him.
Are ducks? Ducks are birds. They're not amphibians.
Quack, quack. Quack like a duck.
Okay. So, well, I was just going to say, going to say the argument I would have made would be that birds are okay because of duck horn. That's where I would have gone with
it. I thought you were going to make an argument as to why birds were amphibians and not birds.
No, ducks.
I think birds were.
Because Scott would go there.
I think birds were amongst the initial animals on labels that we drew the conclusion from.
Does Schaefer have a rabbit? Or somebody who has a rabbit?
Rabbit Ridge.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah,
that's
but nobody good. Nobody except for me and you know who the fuck that is.
No.
Yeah, it used to be a good winery.
I thought Schaefer had an animal, no?
No, well, no. No, they don't.
Okay.
They have Schaefer written across it. Okay. And then a bunch of dollar signs on the back.
Well, there's that.
Hey, bastards.
Just some gold.
$90 for our Cabernet. Shut the fuck up and buy it.
Before we get into the wine, tell, I mean, I'm sure that people, that by the time this airs, the Masters are old, but tell the wine that Tiger Woods picked out for the Masters dinner.
For his, well, he didn't do too well. He got 10 on par 3. But still, Tiger picked out the, well, first of all, his meal. This is previous Masters champion picks the meal. He picked sushi, a sushi roll, as the appetizer. Fajitas as the main course, and then some sort of dessert trio.
Like flan, sopapillas, and maybe churros?
Yes. So the wines was, the white was Schaefer's Red Shoulder Ranch Chardonnay. And the red was Schaefer Hillside Select.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which retails for?
Over three bones.
Okay.
A bottle. Yeah. Nice.
Rob was saying if he was invited, he would have said, I'll just drink this evening. Yeah, I wouldn't. You don't need to.
I'll skip the Taco Bell and I'll eat the rest of stuff.
Taco Bell? I'm sure the food was luscious.
Probably was.
It is weird, though, the appetizer was sushi and then you go into Mexican, and then Mexican and wine are like not normally.
It was kind of like, you're on death row and you have to pick your last meal, so you just hodgepodge and shit together.
Easy.
I want a hot fudge sundae. Yeah.
It's like, Tiger, you can
pick mom's beef stroganoff.
I don't know. You know, maybe he had those things at there. That's probably what it was. He's had them at Augusta National. He said, these are delicious things that they make here. Probably.
Well, and also, who's going to argue with Tiger Woods except for us in our basement in Ohio?
Supposedly, Jack Nicklaus said it was delicious, so we'll go with that.
Why not fajitas in wine?
I feel like spiciness like that in wine is not always great. Chips and guac and wine?
But fajitas usually aren't spicy, you know what I mean? You have that little subtle cumin seasoning, and they're typically not hot, peppery.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. So, folks, we're going to take a break and then be right back with more fajita talk here on The Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the 2018 Viña Zorzal Malieto from Spain. Malieto. We're going to go over to Triple B.
Okay.
And like I said, folks, back to everything else, 100% Grenache. But Parker's review, just to give you a forewarning.
It's been a minute since I had a Grenache, so tell me what we're looking for in a Grenache.
Well, Parker's going to tell you what you're looking for in his fucking War and Peace novel review.
Yeah, so he gave it 94 points. The really impressive and mineral 2018 was produced with Garnacha from a single vineyard that produces wine of unusual elegance and minerality. 10 stars from Scott. Mm-hmm. This was the first plot they bottled separately, and this 2018 is the sixth vintage they have produced. Blah, blah, blah. It's the same slope. Like, all this stuff doesn't mean that much to me. Surprisingly deep with lots of calcium carbonate and fine gravel. This is a lot.
40-year-old vines.
Here we go. This wine clearly transcends its price. How much was it?
$20.
Which is exciting for a $20 bottle of wine. Like, you have some expectations of how it's going to taste.
Mm-hmm.
It's serious, but started quite shy. This is gross. It's serious, but started quite shy. Needed time to open up.
That's
right. It's extremely young and just bottled.
That's right.
That's disgusting.
It's very young and it's shy.
His review is gross. But there is great purity and detail, and it's elegant and balanced, extremely harmonious.
Pretty and satisfying.
This palate is incredibly elegant, seamless, balanced, with very fine tannins, great integration of the oak, and very good freshness, with citrus-like freshness. Think blood, orange skin. Most of the time, this is my go-to wine in Zorzal's portfolio, a wine of great finesse and its finest vintage to date.
One thing, this wine was done in oak fooders, so massive oak vats, and then some of it was in a smaller 500-liter oak barrel, which is still pretty big.
Yeah,
so
huge.
It is on oak. However, it is oaked judiciously, I suppose, would be the term that I would use with that. But that was 94 of Robert Parker's points, which is a fuck ton for him.
And by the way, this is post-Parker's departure.
Yes, it is. Yes, I am not... This is James Suckling. I did not review this wine, but I did... Stop by the wine who are they? The Advocate. I stopped by their place that they do the reviews. It's a Motel 6 right by the highway. Wait a minute, no.
James, why were you right by the highway at the Motel 6?
I'm sorry, I got those confused. That was on Wednesday. Never mind.
Let's smell the wine.
Yes, yes, yes. So, in the glass, first of all, I would say is the wine has nice clarity. It's a very pretty wine.
It's not the densest in the glass.
But when I poured it earlier, I noticed it just had this wonderful little vibrance to it. But excellent clarity. Not, as Scott said, it's not as extracted as you might think. Pretty. And satisfying.
Hmm.
On the nose, the minerality just comes out like crazy.
Yep. There's some herbal notes as well.
Yeah.
Maybe a little sun-dried tomato.
This does, it smells like you're in a little mini herb garden. I don't even know what all. Do you smell that?
A little coriander?
Tad, I hate when there's one thing that I pick out that bothers me. Mm. There's a tad bit of yeastiness that bothers me. Mm. It bothers me, folks.
Well, I mean, you can...
Are we writing down our scores now, or
when
do we do
that? Oh, that's correct. We need to do that. Before we drink it. You don't have a pen, do you, Scott? And this is, folks, we're trying to ferret out... Unlike bias, inherent bias. Mm. Now, we know that Becky is biased, but that's different. If it were vodka, she would love it. It's true. All right. I have written down my scores.
What if it was borscht?
I don't know. She's never had that, I don't believe.
It's so hard when you haven't even tasted it to know how you're going to score it.
No, oh, I know. Who said it? No, I've never tasted it, but still. A lithy nose. I understand what's. I understand what you're saying, Scott, about the slight bit of yeast, but that's just that'll blow off. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, and it's just in there with that herbaliness. That
it's not. It's not like Liberty School yeast.
No.
That's Baker's yeast. Baker's Dozen. It's a Wonder Bread factory.
And a little bit of yeast. It's not always a bad thing.
It's not necessarily but it's rarely a good thing. Yeah, I mean,
not always a bad thing.
Becky has a piece of cheese that she's chopping at.
Leave me alone.
Like a lumberjack. Here we go.
Literally, leave me alone. I've had
a. I'm going to.
I think the fruit that I get, it's a little bit of strawberry.
I bet. Yep. I think so. I didn't get that, but you're exactly right.
Oh,
Something nice about strawberry, though, is it's not sweet. You can just taste that it's strawberry, and that's nice because sometimes when you're tasting wine and you get strawberry, it's going to be something sweet that you're not a fan of, but this isn't sweet.
Well, strawberry does come across on the palate, yeah.
It does.
That's a good call. Mm-hmm. It's good.
It, almost like a... If you've had strawberry soda...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost like strawberry soda. It's that...
What has a
wispiness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's more strawberry essence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What?
That's
so...
Nice.
And there are a lot of rosés that come out of this region, and you can tell, you can see a little bit of a, well, I mean, you can see, you can see that genesis right there, yeah.
Yeah.
And thing about Vigna Zorzal, they have a wide line. They make multiple wines, Grenache and whatnot.
So, just my first quaff. This one does that physical thing. There's such a strong transition to the finish. I call it, it's almost like changing gears in a race car. It's going along this one thing, it's smooth, and then it just shifts into high gear at the finish.
Mm-hmm. And folks,
if
you go to our Libsyn website, you'll see a link underneath, like there'll be the actual write-up where I'm making fun of Scott. See the picture of the wine, then there's a little, the name of the wine is a link, and you can click on that and go to the website. On every episode, whether it be directly to the wine or basic information from the website, from the winery.
Something about this wine, and it's probably because it's aged in such large oak barrels.
Mm-hmm.
The oaking is light, which is good. If this were heavier oaked, it would be, I can't imagine how ghastly it would be. But the light oaking of it is very, very nice.
Mm-hmm. The oak is prominent, but never too strong.
Right.
It just adds an element to it, but a great deal of it. And then the oak is spicy on the finish, and you have a nice warming sensation, warmth on the finish. It's not heat. It's warmth. A little cayenne, almost. It's a fairly expansive wine.
Yes.
It's medium-bodied, though.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because, you know, that lithi, the lithi aromas, the way it has the clarity and not too dense in the glass looking, that does carry over onto the palate. Everything carries over. So the way it looks is the way it smells is the way it tastes. And that's unusual. We don't normally find that.
True. I mean, it's a lighter looking wine. And
it's not a light wine, but at the same time.
Well, it's not the heaviest wine. It's
medium bodied. It's not big medium bodied. It's just medium bodied.
Okay.
It's not schmedium either.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's almost medium. It's just about medium.
That would
medium.
Be your mistake.
Medium-ish. I'm calling it medium-ish, which is fine. I'm not criticizing it. It's just...
I would call it medium.
Medium.
It's just...
It reminds me, in some ways, of a Pinot, because it's medium-bodied, but there's so much going on to really dive into.
It reminds me of Mencia.
And I like this. It's nice. I love something that's really full-bodied, and I miss that sometimes. If you get a cab that's not full-bodied, you're like, okay. But this is nice.
I don't miss it at all that it's not heavier-bodied. Yeah. And that's my point. It is... Fine. We'll call it medium. I call it medium-ish. But it's...
Nobody asked you to call it anything.
Well,
I'll call you Janet. That's what I'm going to call you.
Damn it. Janet. Yeah. Do you love me?
No.
Oh, Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
Gobs. You know what? I'm not getting a lot.
Gobs of minerality.
You're getting gobs. That's what I was going to say. I'm not getting as much minerality as I expected.
There's quite a bit, especially in the mid palate.
I get some. Let's talk about the minerality. Describe it.
Mm.
Describe it, please, sir.
Doesn't really have a description. It's
Give
just
it a description.
Generic minerality.
Mm.
It's not slaty. It might be a little bit of a limestone edge, but, you know, I wouldn't give it a name.
To me, it is limestone, but it is...
It comes from the limestone anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really...
Also, there's the oak and the minerality play off each other a little bit there,
they
too.
They do. So. I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not this mineral bomb.
I don't think I'd ever want to drink a wine that's a mineral bomb.
Well, I for sure would.
When you...
It tastes like Epsom salts. I soak my feet in
something
it.
Something that I'm a big fan of with this wine is there is a pretty clear front, mid, and finish.
Yes.
And it's almost like textbook. You know, like you have a fruity front palate, you have your minerality, and then you have your oaking at the end. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like a wine standard. It's just like a classic, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is like Robert Parker scored this high, but it is like someone that likes wine. This is like a wine lover's wine.
I think you nailed it. This is a classic structure of the way the minerality expresses, the finish. It's front, middle, finish. It's classic structure. The last thing I'm going to say about the minerality, when Parker's Wine Advocate talks about it being impressive and mineral and unusual elegance of minerality, I don't think there's anything unusual about this minerality. I think it's just a component in a well done product.
No, it's not unusual. No.
At all. And it's not, I don't think it's
Let me slow that down, though.
Expressing minerality.
This is an unusual representation of Grenache. Probably, though, it's a little more akin to the region because it's a little bit lighter. Normally, normally Grenache, especially in Spain and France for that matter, tend to be sledgehammers. They are ripe, big wine, strong wine. Think of Brica. Brica is a massive wine that doesn't taste anything like this, and it's Grenache.
When you have a young Grenache, it's typically not as, they use the word well, I think this is elegant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fresh and vibrant too.
It's a little past soft, but if I had to go soft or harsh, I got to go on the soft side.
Mm-hmm. Softer than it is hard. You know how that is.
Something that we also need to talk about is the mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been debating how much of the mouthfeel is the actual wine and how much of it is the strawberry at the beginning that makes it feel more elevated. But it definitely has a lovely, lovely mouthfeel.
What I particularly like about the mouthfeel is how that transition occurs. Mm-hmm. And it goes from this smooth, soft, elegant thing, then all of a sudden shifts gears to this finish that I think ultimately that's what provides that balanced structure, that standard structure that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, without the big finish, this would be lacking something.
Yeah.
It would be.
Well, I mean, yeah, every wine, if it didn't have its finish, would be lacking something. I mean,
to go from that well-balanced front palate, mid palate, but that are a little more subdued, a little more subtle to the finish that it doesn't quite punch you in the face, but it's such a transition and such a contrast to the front and mid palate. It's wonderful.
This wine doesn't overpower you at any moment.
No.
I mean, but it is. I mean, it is the balance overall. The wine structure throughout it really does work.
Yeah.
It's a complete package. It's a complete wine, really, you know.
What are your thoughts on the tannins?
Well, the tannins are there, but the wine itself is, you know, medium-bodied, so therefore it's really not a focus of the wine.
Mm-hmm.
They are just a part of it.
Yeah.
And they're there on the finish, but really for me, the way it's oaked kind of controls that. Mm. Yeah, they are, but you're really focusing on other things when the tannins come in for me. So
I don't think this is a wine that's made to set down, but I think it could hold a couple years.
Yeah, I think that actually, but think of this though. We always say that because it's not a massive beast jammy thing. Well, it's somewhat beastly, but not in the same kind of way we normally used to talking about it. And the difference here though is I think you're going to see some of the fruit suss out a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's, it's going to actually, you know, in its own ways, cuz think about it. There are Burgundies that last forever and they're not necessarily these massive full-throttled things. This thing I think would sort out. Not 5-10 years, 2-3. I would hold it for a couple years, you know, couple years.
I think this would become more towards the savory fruits as it aged and leaned out. I think it would lose some of that berry.
I don't know.
I think it would shift over towards more like a
I could see
cassis thing.
I could see it soften, and I could see actually the fruits turn a little sweeter. I could see that.
Okay.
I could see it go either way. I understand where you're coming from there, but the things that are the most prominent things probably will mellow and fade. And the fruit, I think the fruit is compacted just a little bit in that front palate.
Well, I
so think if the oak mellows, everything, it mellows just a little bit.
But I think in the mid palate, there's that hint of black of currant, and I think that would express more.
I have a question for you. You said this was $20. In the Grenache world, is that low, medium?
I'm perfectly happy to spend $20 on a Grenache.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't expect to pay that much.
This is the same. I mean,
can we think of something?
Well, I'm just trying to understand where this is on the price scale.
My opinion on the lower end. You know, if we talked about Grenache at an entry point, how much would you expect to pay to get a quality Grenache? $20.
No, you can get them at $14, $15 that are really good. There's a lot of ones that are great that aren't that much. But the difference, though, you have, though, is this is a little bit more elegant than those, a little more complex. So this wine has complexity where some of those are more just, they're normally just powerhouses. They're enjoyables, you know, punch you in the face kind of stuff. But this has a little bit more. It's the region, too. And I have had wines from this region, but not very many.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think a lot of that complexity and the prettiness of this wine is that region. That's the style. That's how mm-hmm. they go for it. You have slightly lighter versions of everything. And I'm thinking back of like the Anciano and stuff like that that we've done. Those are big, full-throttled Grenaches. Mm-hmm. Very, very potent. But this is so much different than those and enjoyable in a completely different way and better, quite frankly, because it's expressing a little more of the fruit and allowing a little more of the winemaking to show, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think this is it's a fair price, you know. Yeah. Are there more expensive Grenaches? Yes, there are. There's $40, $50, $60, $70. This, though, is perfectly within its realm. It's a value, mm-hmm. you know. But that's the thing. I mean, how good is the wine compared to, you know, the price? I mean, I think it definitely is
a
good value. My question is what you would mistake it for.
You're not saying it has a high QPR?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the thing about this wine is, stylistically, normally wines like this, you're not paying a lot for. Mm-hmm. Your bigger Grenache is normally a bigger style. It's not to say that there aren't wines in this style that are, mm-hmm. you know, a little more expensive. But quality-wise, enjoyment-wise, though, you're going to have to spend quite a bit to get complexity like this. Mm-hmm. And, where would you find something that would be similar to this in California? There really isn't. Because stylistically, nobody does that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you'd find something in some sort of Syrah somewhere, but I doubt it.
And they're usually going to be
too jazzy.
Well, they're also going to be mm-hmm. bigger.
Yeah, they're going to be too big.
They're not going to be as. Mm-hmm. There's just a certain. This is a young wine.
Mm-hmm. It is a young wine.
To get this level of excellence and elegance, and like you said, it's got that standard structure.
It's quite shy and young.
It is, but there is a shyness about it.
I know.
He just described it so sexually; it was disgusting.
Who did?
I think you weren't there in your reading.
No, I think that she's right. There's certain things you just... No, they didn't put shy and young right next to each other, but...
In the next line, he talked about purity.
Okay, well, that's the wine, but still, yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't like... Wasn't
shy,
like,
needed time to open up, extremely young.
Naive.
Yeah.
Not aware of the ways of the world. Needed a... They
just,
needed a...
Just a few older red man flags
to
in his
show
review,
them down the road. Basically. To open up.
It's serious. It's serious, but started quite shy.
Yeah.
And needed time to open up.
Many,
it's extremely young and just bottled.
Many a Harlequin novel is started off with just those words.
Seriously.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
She
it's
was
a wine review.
She was only 17.
It was inappropriately
it's basically
rich. She was just 17.
No, I believe it's basically a warrant lyric. Didn't they have that? She's only 17.
Like
There's been a lot of bad songs.
If he was ever accused of something, I wouldn't be shocked based off this Robert review. Parker? Let's say that.
Easy, he's retired. He didn't even write this.
Yeah, I mean,
We've all read quite a bit about male sexual harassment, sexual assault in the wine world. I'm just saying, first of all,
I find that to be poppycock. We did, though, read that article about that woman that was sexually harassing Robert Parker. Remember that?
No.
Well, you read it that way.
Mm-hmm. She couldn't control herself because she was meeting Robert Parker. She said it on the damn article.
All right, let's go to potpourri.
We will.
So.
But not yet. No, yes. What? No. No so's. So's, you've lost your so's.
No. So the boat. Price point, real quick. Rebecca,
mm-hmm.
How much would you pay for this and not be disappointed?
I would say 25 to 30 would be my.
I concur.
I'd say 40. I really enjoy this.
Well, I mean,
as long as with the understanding that you can pay $40 for a bottle of Drink Now wine.
True. It's stylistically limited, possibly, but.
But also, mm-hmm. but it hits a home run stylistically.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. So, folks, to cut Scott off, we are going to be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks.
Sure.
So on tonight's
that's what Rob says. Do that. Do your sure.
Sure. On tonight's potpourri, I just had a stroke of genius.
Off fire. We were talking about a politician faking COVID so he wouldn't have to meet Dum Dum.
Yes, that's right. On tonight's
Which
potpourri.
Is brilliant. Go ahead.
I have had the most brilliant idea.
Mm.
We're going to go around the room.
Are you going to fake COVID so you don't have to meet Dum Dum?
No. And what we're going to do is we're going to each say, for each Wine Vault personality that exists.
Ooh.
Us three. Also.
The superstar.
The superstar, Mr. COVID, who has COVID. And we'll even throw in, well, who should else? Is there anybody else we should
throw in? I
don't know
if you're going to throw in Shakespearean Phil or the Australian Russian.
Well, Shakespearean, that's true. The Australian Russian has been on one episode. He's done three, been on one. Let's just do
the
us.
Four main.
Okay. What wine that exists would you most associate with that person?
Ooh.
Bad or good?
Let's do it personality by personality and go around the room.
Yeah.
Huh?
Let's just go personality by personality and go around.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Start off with, since he's not here.
Yes.
Corona.
Yes. So superstar. Mine is so easy. I'm so glad we're starting with him. The episode or like the wine I associate most with Steve is Mayomi. Because number one, loved that episode.
He is a Mayomi kind of guy.
But then Scott had told the story about how he had gone out to somewhere and had a glass of Mayomi and told
the
bartender what was wrong with it. Uh-huh. And when Steve said,
he was so mad.
He was. I mean, and it is just his restaurant background, like immediately coming to the defense of his staff, which is so great.
She came into work that day looking
for
a lesson.
It is my story.
Sorry.
Yeah. She came to work hoping for a lesson. And I was like, oh my God, it was so good. It's like probably my all-time favorite Steve moment, my all-time favorite Wine Vault moment. Yep. And definitely Mayomi is what I associate with Steve because of that.
I'm sure he'll be very happy.
It was so funny. Oh my gosh.
There was a time where he would love it. And not now. I don't think he would drink it.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
it was so
let me put
funny.
That back. I don't think he would order it.
Mm.
If you're somewhere and, you know, somebody breaks out a bottle of Mayomi, I don't think he's going to turn it down.
What about Mayomi Cabernet?
They have a rosé out now, too.
Barf. We're going to have to do the Cabernet.
No, we have to do the rosé.
I'm not going to do the rosé. Man, so Scott, superstar.
It's hard to follow the triple B.
What was the 15.6% Turley that we did?
He's never drank that.
I know. That's
what about the 16.1%?
That's the one. Which is the Uberuth? Is the Uberuth at 16.1?
Yes.
Anyway, that's 16.1 Turley. When I see 16.1, I'm like, oh, that's a superstar. He's going to freaking five star that. Whatever the highest alcohol content wine there is, that's what I think of as Stevie. The truth is, the one I think of Stevie is that nice rosé he brought over with such the pretty bottle.
Oh,
Gary had
we drank that in a minivan.
That was a really beautiful bottle. We saved it and put water in it forever.
It was actually a beautiful little rosé.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. And for Steve, what?
Orval? Is it Orval?
That's a beer.
No.
It was a Michael David, I think. Something. Not Michael David. Michael Mondavi. It's something by Michael Mondavi.
Okay.
Yeah.
That Michael Mondavi rosé.
Yeah,
he
it was
brought.
A rosé.
That was the first bottle he ever brought here.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
It's when he first started getting serious about the show.
Go ahead. What's yours?
I can't hear over the. Bzz, bzz.
Oh, yeah. It was a Michael Mondavi. The bottle's beautiful.
It
Isabel
is.
Isabel Mondavi.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Isabel Rosé. Sorry, I had to look it up.
You did.
Go ahead.
Okay, for me, what I most associate with Steve, and this has never aired as of yet, partly because there are laws in the United States that prevent such things to be aired, but it would be Fantini Montepulciano de Abruzzo. That is what I would associate with Steve. First of all, he loves that wine.
It's a good wine.
And second of all, it is a lovely wine, actually. That is a faded. Now, we've spoke about the Fantini Montepulciano de Abruzzo episode in hushed tones because it exists. It does exist, folks. I know you all want to know about what this episode is, but we can't release it yet.
Mm.
We can't, but we will. But that wine, though, is quintessential Steve. Soft, good fruit, somewhat simple, but enjoyable. Another one that I would think of, down that same line, is Gabbiano's Black Knight.
He loved that.
That's good. Another one would be, he just loves those little red table wines, like the Mazzi Campariforma.
He would have loved that Scalise.
Any of those things. Those little Italian, slightly fruity red wines that are still pleasant to drink.
Wait, you know when we had that?
What?
When we did the campfire at my house, and we had the little Bry at my house.
We had Mazzi?
Yes.
Oh.
That's the Italian I brought out that night.
Okay. But yeah, he loves those little Italian wines just like that. So back to Becky.
Oh, me next. Okay.
We're going to do the unlicensed taxi driver.
Oh.
I know what I'm picking about me.
You can't pick your own.
I can pick my own.
It'd be kind of dumb if you did.
Well, you're going to pick your own.
I wasn't going to, but I guess I will now.
You are now. Becky's going to pick her
you
own.
You go. Let me think. I have one idea. Let me think.
Well, normally I go after you guys talk, but, you know.
Yeah, you just steal our ideas.
More or less. For Scott. Normally, Scott.
I know what you're going to pick.
Boy, you must know more than I do. Scott will, you know, he'll make a mythology about certain wines and remember them better than what they were.
Lord.
What I would say about Scott, what does represent Scott? The Ravenswood Zinfandel series.
That's where I was headed.
Well, then you should have went first.
Dang. Yeah, that's what I was
But no,
thinking.
Scott, I did introduce you to those.
Oh, I know what I'm going
to
say.
Yes, well, sure.
But you are a lover of those. Now, they have become scarce, although we do have the 17 Lodi for the show soon.
Not my favorite.
Well, no, but it's all we can get.
Damn it.
But you have been a a lover or proponent of Ravenswood. So that would be the wine I would associate with you. Wine line, for that matter.
I was thinking Ravenswood, and I was like looking around to see if there was anything else. The only other wine that I would say is Scott is Hecula, because
You brought that.
You brought it, and it became this whole obsession about us driving across Columbus to get it.
Fair enough.
And basically buying out this entire store's worth of Hecula stash.
That's a good point.
You know, the thing of that is, you could just as easily pick that for the wine guy.
I know what I'm going to put for Rob.
Just as enthralled by it.
I know you put for Rob,
but
too.
But I feel like you introduced it, and you introduced the stash that they had. I mean, we went and bought Hecula when I was in labor with Luke. Mm-hmm. Like, that is...
Yeah, that's true. And then he was born.
But you actually showed me about the store. I found the Hecula.
You found the Hecula. I don't know where you found it, but you bought it.
Oh, actually, Hecula was on wine.com.
Yeah, you got it on wine.com, then it disappeared. Then we got it
at Home Buys.
Yeah.
So the wine.
We wouldn't have even known about that store if it weren't for you, wouldn't we?
No, he knew about the Home Buys.
You knew about Home Buys first?
Yes.
He found about Home Buys.
Oh, because you saw an ad where they had taken Anderson's fixtures. Yes. That's what happened.
But
okay.
I found that Hecula was there. The wine that I think is very me is the White Coat.
Oh.
Because.
By Turley.
Turley. And it's also this little derivation away from their traditional Zins and the things that they do, and I was not afraid to try something different. And it's French, it's wonderful, and
it's California,
it's minerality, but it's a Rhone style blend.
Yeah, but it's from California, it's not French. But you said it was French, it's not French.
Can we take a brief time out and look at Bobo?
What is Bobo? Oh my gosh, Bobo, the beau is curled up on the couch, completely asleep, and his paws are over his nose.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
a cat.
You fall asleep with your arms over your face. That's what he's doing.
He's completely unconscious. He always, normally, he starts off on the floor bothering us, but apparently tonight he's just expending too much energy. When he gets sleepy, then later on, he'll go over, then he goes to sleep on the couch. Tonight, he just went straight to the couch to go to sleep.
The couch is so comfortable.
He never sleeps upstairs, and we're upstairs. He's always running around. Yeah. We do the wine vault, boom, out.
Yeah, it's comfort. It's his buddy Scott's with him. It's a feeling of security.
Normally people don't fall asleep around you. I don't know what that's about.
Well,
but,
you know. Trust. Both is trust. Okay. But the White Coat, the minerality, love it. That's what I'm picking as me.
Right.
When I look at the bottles of White Coat in my storage area, they just make me smile.
Oh, that's great.
They do.
That's great. So now on to the Triple B.
Okay.
See, what I would associate the Triple B with is, I mean... just without question, Earthquake Zinfandel. I wouldn't do that because you never even had that. By the way, that's 1999 right now at Meijer. They can keep it.
I feel like there's two answers here.
There are two answers.
There are two answers, and we're going to have the same answer.
So obviously it's Love Block, but it could be Apatagua.
Then there's three answers.
But also it could be Kim Crawford.
Yeah, it could be Kimmy.
Those are the three.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go with any of those.
Where are you going to go with?
Turley Old Vine Zin.
Oh,
But I'm not going to do that either.
I'm rolling my eyes.
I'm going to actually go to Mary Edwards Pinot Noir.
Oh.
Very nice.
But I've already mentioned the other ones, so they're tainted, so it's blasé for someone to mention them. No. We did... Scott, have you been to Mary Edwards?
No, I haven't.
Rob.
We have. We did a tasting in a conference room. Impromptu.
You did the tasting.
They did a tasting for us. Just us. Yeah. They didn't have like a tasting room. They had a conference. They had a fold out table. And they went, sure, we'll do a tasting. Ready? And we go in there and they just got out some wine and we did a tasting in their conference room.
It was like a PowerPoint thing in the background.
Yeah, it was their conference room. Like they do meetings in. They just did that for us. Same thing with Acorn. We were actually in a garage, their actual garage. And he's like, pulls out a table. He's like, sure, yeah. It's the owner. And put out some chairs for us. And he did a private tasting. The owner of the winery did us a private tasting. You know, I mean,
just let him do it. Just have them sit down. Have them sit at the conference room. They might have a gun.
Let me just
break out. He look at him. No. He might have a gun. He's got that look in his eye. You remember last time? Just give him some wine.
There are some incredibly... Shut up. There are some incredibly hospitable people out there. Incredibly. And they know they want nothing more than just to meet you and...
Yeah.
I mean, I was amazed. I was amazed. No other business would you go in anywhere and get that kind of treatment.
Yeah, it just was like outrageous hospitality.
It would.
And
it was.
I think it also just shows like the passion for the work that they do. Like they love it so much that they wanted to share that love with someone else. Mm-hmm.
So next up is the Triple B. What would you say about yourself?
What'd Scott say?
Well, oh yeah. We'll go that way.
No, absolutely. I was going to say Kim Crawford, Love Block.
Yeah, Kimmy. Kimmy, I feel like, is like the target version of Becky. So I was hoping you would say Love Block because I feel like it's like a higher end version of Becky.
Yeah, but
by the way, I have another wine for Steve. Via Cafaggio. Because if Steve could have a wine on an IV, it would be Via Cafaggio. Pretty much Italian wines for Steve.
He loves them.
Well, he doesn't know that he loves them, but he absolutely loves them.
No, I think he knows enough.
He would just take Cafaggio in an IV and just do that all day long.
The opportunity to go out and have a dinner.
Yeah.
He loves Scally now, mm-hmm. but it's martinis. He loves martinis. He loves wine list. You know, and he gets his little I'm a Cameron Mitchell guy card thing. So mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Now, Triple B, what would you say about yourself?
I would have probably said Love Block.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so something that's not on the table. It's a little challenging. What would you say?
Protocolo. No. Le Clarion de Agnès. Actually, I just thought about it. Le Clarion de Agnès. It's Grenache, isn't it?
The only other one that I can think of that I would maybe say is Dry Creek's Inn.
Oh, yeah.
Because I really, really love that wine. And to me, it's just like a vacation in a bottle. I love that. So that maybe be the other one that I would say.
It's a standard. I haven't had that in a long, long time.
It's so mm-hmm. good.
They do such a good job.
It is. It's not really that easy to find. It's good, though.
Well, I got calm, but in stores, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a fan.
So I guess it's on to me.
Pretty much every time we go on vacation, I'm like, Rob, make sure you pack some.
That's true.
It's so good.
So the Triple B will start off to talk about me. I hate this.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. So I have two.
Mm.
I have two that I associate with you. So... I think that we could basically pick anything off the wall, you know, Rob loves this, Rob loves this. But I think the two that I would say the most, first would be Heights. I feel like if I am looking for like a gift or something for you, or every time I see Heights offered, every time I get their emails, every time anything, I'm like, oh, Heights.
What, because of like that sign that I made?
Oh, I know that Heights. Framed.
Yeah, I framed Heights.
Image.
Yeah.
So Heights, I would say for sure. But then the other one that it like just makes me very nostalgic and reminds me so much of our honeymoon and like early dating days is Numanthia. And that's like a sentimental thing.
Point of order, you wouldn't let me get Numanthia on our honeymoon.
But when we went out for your birthday, which is the only time we've been out to eat in.
True.
8 months of this. We were kind of debating what to get. And when I saw Numanthia, I was like, oh, we have to get Numanthia. It's your birthday. This is like the...
Termes, though.
But they didn't... I mean, there weren't that many other offerings. True, but anyways.
True. Termes, I love Termes.
It was very nice.
The entire line is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But those would be the two I would choose for you.
I'm going to pick something that we did together. And there's so many that I could pick that are... epitomes of the wine guy, but I'm gonna go with the Pagau, the Chateauneuf-du-Pape.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's just, one, it's from your cellar, but you love French. You love the Chateauneuf du Pape. I mean, we were texting back and forth this week, and Rob found a nice deal on a Chateauneuf du Pape that we both pulled the trigger on. And when I got here, the first thing was, yeah, I'm going to get another bottle of that. I stopped by Grain and Grape, and I've been shopping for Chateauneuf. And
fucking dumbass.
Okay, I will tell you, wine.com this whole pandemic.
He didn't buy it. He suggested I buy it. Well, I don't know that he bought it. Allegedly.
Packages on our front doorstep. Fine. No free. Big deal.
I don't think they're charging you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. Occasionally, they'll be like, oh, we just have to make sure an adult's here. And I'll wave, and it's fine. The past couple of days, they've made me sign again. And the other day, someone from FedEx delivering wine.com tried to come inside our house. No mask.
Shame, shame, shame.
And I was so pissed. I was almost like, Rob, we are not ordering wine.com if they're going to make me sign. And pissed me off so much. He handed me that dirty thing to sign on. And he put his foot on our doorstep, like, to come inside. And I was like, get back out. I'm obviously 21. Well, no one else makes me sign for this.
I could post mean things to him back again on Facebook. You want me to?
It wasn't wine.com. It was FedEx.
I know, but
he was like looking in the window. I was just like, get out of this house.
Yeah, that's weird.
It was super weird. I've never seen him before. Mm. But when he tried to come in without a mask on, I was like, get out of this house.
Yeah.
I was extremely rude, but it was also...
Mm-hmm. But gals,
anyway, so don't order anything from wine.com for a minute. Give me a minute to recover.
You know, I could have gone with any of the wines we had on that turkey dinner night.
Oh,
yeah.
But the Pigao is the one I'm going to pick. What would you pick for yourself?
I'm going to be very, very commoner.
Humble. Mm-hmm.
No, I will. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, except for three different wines that they make, Rodney Strong.
I'm surprised you didn't pick a port for yourself.
Well, huh. The Gentleman's Port.
Oh, mm-hmm. My Lord, we love
that. That was the only other thing that I can think of.
Alexander Valley Cabernet is delicious. Their Knights Valley Cabernet is delicious. Both of their Pinots, the Sonoma Coast and the Russian Rivers, are really good. Mm. The Sonoma Cab is terrible, I think. And the Chardonnay is bad. And the Sauvignon Blanc should be burned at the stake. But
Other than that,
those other wines are great. I don't want to drink the Upshot at all. Oh, but Naughty Vine Zin is pretty good.
Yeah. I'm not sure you're very self-aware there.
What?
I'm not sure why you said Rodney Strong.
Because I like them.
Okay.
The Gentleman's Port. I mean, and that being said, I also like, but I haven't had recently, but I do like the Symmetry and a lot of their higher end stuff. It's good stuff. Okay. Really good stuff. But I would say that. That's a grocery store kind of normal brand, you know. We try to do that here in the Wine Vault. So that would be what I'd say. You know, but I also, there's some other things I would say too.
Fry Corona.
Well, oh yeah, I forgot about Fry Corona. That's true. Fry Corona is very good. I like the Cabernet. I like the Cabernet a lot.
I like the Merlot.
Yeah, but I like the Cabernet a lot more than the Merlot.
We like that Merlot. Those 2 years,
I know, Scott.
Freaking fantastic,
Scott. I know, but I like the Cabernet a lot more than the Merlot.
Okay,
that says something about how much I like their Cabernet. Because you know why? It's Alexander Valley. That's why. I love Alexander Valley. Strangely enough, second episode. Alexander Valley. So, folks, I hope that was interesting. I don't know that it was. Well, I love that.
Good. That was really fun.
Good. That's what I
just... I'm not sure we did Steve a good job. I think the Italian's a good little fitting...
Yes. Anything thing, is Italian for Steve.
It's been a while since he's been a regular.
Well, he's got COVID. So there's a reason for that. He's in quarantine. He's not allowed to be around anybody.
What about HIPAA?
He's busy.
What about HIPAA? I'm not his doctor.
I know. I'm just teasing.
I didn't talk about how he has gonorrhea. I mean, that's a different story. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'll tell you more about the venereal diseases that Steve has. And maybe even Scott's. Here on The Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2018 Vigna Zorzal. Oh, my.
Something I wanted to point out from Parker's review.
Yes.
When he said, most of the time, this is my go-to wine in the portfolio. I kind of, when I read that originally, I was thinking like highest rated or, I don't know, jazziest. Not isn't the right word, but just like the most, when you're like, oh, this is the most flavorful wine or this is the biggest wine or something. And this isn't those things. This is just a really great drinking wine. And if you're kind of up in the air, like, what do we have tonight? You know, and you're like, nothing sounds good. This will always sound good. You will always be glad that you had this. And something we were talking about off the air is Scott said, how many glasses or how many bottles of this could you go through in a night? Because it's not too oaky. It's not too sweet. It's not too any of these things. It's just really well balanced that you could be three or four glasses in on this easily. It's very, very nice. You wouldn't feel the need to kind of like switch it up or move around between wines. It's a very nice drink.
Yeah, you wouldn't tire of it. There's certain wines we've had recently, Decoin Limited Napa Cabernet, that you would tire of because it would kill you. This wine does not do that.
The superstar, how many bottles of this could you drink? How many do you have? How many do you have?
I've got like 10 bottles I can drink.
This is a nice gift wine. This is a nice someone's hosting something wine. It's just a very...
That's right.
You take this, you take this to someone's house and give it as a gift, you're going to always be invited back.
That's right.
I think so.
So, we're going to go over to the Triple B. And, comrade, we just need you to give this a numerical score.
This is a hard wine for me to review, to give a score to. I think it is, some of the notes that I wrote down is that the strawberry, I just can't get over how much I enjoy that because it's not, it doesn't add sweetness. It's not like a sticky, sugary sweetness. It's just a lovely expression of the fruit. The oaking is wonderful. The mouthfeel is elegant. I'm just a fan. I would recommend this. I also am going to nominate it for the Value Price Hall of Fame, which is... Don't you make that face at me. Are you just think I'm so out of character?
No.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Are you wondering what's gotten into me?
Yeah, I figured I was never going to answer that question a long time ago.
I think this is delightful. I would recommend it all day long.
Go ahead.
Giving it an 89.
Oh, Jesus.
I love this wine. I'm a fan. You're going to turn around and give it an 89 too, so don't even look
It's rare that what you get on the nose translates into the bottle.
Yes.
Into the glass the way this does.
It's exceptional.
The
94.
The mouthfeel, shifting of gears. As Becky said, it's standard perfection for structure of what a wine should be. One thing I don't think we talked about enough was the finish. It's a lengthy little thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's not the biggest finish overall. It's got that gear shift where it goes from this smooth softness to a bigger finish. But it's not a punch you in the face finish. But it lingers and lingers and lingers in that nice little spiciness.
Yeah.
How many different things can we pick out of this? Strawberry. I think there's that savory currant thing in the mid palate with that little nondescript minerality. Tannins, the oaking, that little spicy finish. What's that? Seven different things?
Oh, at least.
I also think there's a touch of dairy creaminess in the start of the finish. Just a little subtle, thicker mouthfeel.
It's a well done wine.
91 of my points.
Ooh.
I also recommend it highly and think it should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, that just depends on what I score it, of course. I like this wine quite a bit. I think that its complexity is its strong suit. It's its balance is a strong suit. Obviously, it's not a big wine, which holds it back. I mean, if it were some really impressive, heady thing, I mean, really big, I could see 93, 94 like Parker's talking about. But this is a lesser scale sized wine.
Yeah.
So his 94 is just, it's so unusual that they would give it a 94. That's a really elite score. That really is.
When you just kind of score, it's like, it's difficult to score anything there.
It's like the old dog head tilt. You're like, 94?
Yeah.
That's James Suckling.
But I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not.
It's an overscore.
That's a dumbass score. It's just fucking stupid. It is a fucking stupid score.
All right.
You're a fucking moron if you give something a 94 and you're not saying price comes into account. You can't. You can't say that this is as good as Pagal Châteauneuf-du-Pape.
Nope.
That didn't get any. But you can't say they're not. This isn't that good. But I will give it 90 of my points.
Oh.
And I will put it in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I'm not disappointed.
Now let's go around the room and see who did well.
It's exceptional on the drinkability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'll give it 100 on that.
Yeah,
it's
when
so good.
When did we have anything in a drink now that was so high on the drinkability?
Mencia.
Maybe Robert the Flavium. Parker.
Yeah, that's a while
actually,
now, man.
I'm actually a
6 months
more,
ago?
I'm a little more of a fan of the Flavium over this, but they're both nice.
Yeah.
Because the Flavium just goes... Well, just because it's Mencia, it goes into that role. It's a little more rounded and fruitier, slightly, than this is. But
it's a little bigger, too, I think. Slightly bigger.
Well, it didn't have... no, I don't know. I mean, this wine is different. I'd like to see where this wine is in 2 years. I think it's going to suss itself out and be kind of interesting.
It'd be hard for me to hold this back 2 years.
It's hard for you to hold anything back for 2 years, quite frankly.
Oh, good
You don't
Lord.
Have the patience. I do.
I'm full of patience.
You know that I have the patience, but nevertheless.
So going around the room, I said Rob would give it an 88 and Scott would give it an 89.
Well, you lost.
I did.
Scott.
I said Rebecca would give it an 89.
Hmm.
And I said the wine guy would give it a 91.
Oh. Well, that means you and I once again, Scott, tie because I knew Becky would give it an 89. But I thought you'd give it... I was a little bit ridiculous in this. I thought you'd give it a 92.
Ah!
That was a bad... you know what? I'm going to give it to you on... I'm going to give you the win. Because quite frankly...
You overscored it. You overscored me. You overscored me?
Well, no. 92 was... That was a bad choice by me. You do win, Scott. You win.
I love that we do this. I think it's really fun.
That's fun.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Good job, Scott.
Predicting the predictions.
Although we knew what she would do.
Yeah.
Why do you think we'd give it in the 80s?
I just didn't think it was going to be as good as it was.
It's hard to
Spanish.
Do
Spanish.
It's hard to
if
do
it were
this.
California and some dumbass gave it a 94. it was the decanter, it'd be
it's
hell,
hard
that's an 82.
It's so hard
we're
based off the
picking
nose.
At straws. I didn't
and
seriously
the yeast
think
thing
it would
was
be
the
94.
One where I was like, oh, Scott said it smelled yeasty. And I think I was.
Right.
I was going to maybe do like an extra point, and I was like, eh, no.
You know, and we use the old world, the Riedel, what the hell is this stuff?
Old Riedel, World Syrah.
Oh, yeah, the Old World Syrah glasses. The Venom Old World Syrah glasses. But I think I probably, if I were ever drinking this again, I would do the New World.
Hmm.
Give it a little bit more of a space to breathe.
I would like to try it in a Pinot glass.
Yeah, I was going to say that or like a Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm.
Something to give it even more space.
Well, I think those New World Syrah glasses
would give
the
it
extreme.
More.
Yeah, would give it a little more.
But you know, one of the things we didn't really talk, we kind of glanced over, but even now as I'm looking at Wine Guy's glass that's empty, folks.
Very empty.
It's still the legs on this glass are beautiful.
It's a good wine.
It really is a beauty. And I was...
You know
when I saw the... It's slightly... lighter than I would have wanted it to be for a Grenache,
true.
It didn't hold it back at all. But it's just foretelling of how soft and elegant it was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, a 91, a 90, and an 89. Hall of Fame. Good job. Vigna Zorzal, and you also get a point from me for your name, Zorzal.
It's a great name. You know what? I'm glad we held this off till tonight. This is I needed this bottle of wine tonight.
Yep. That's true.
I needed this bottle of wine tonight. I'm glad we had it. It's fantastic, folks.
And unfortunately, Scott and I are going to embark on the second episode and drink a wine that we did not need tonight. But that's not the point.
Well, I think you're telling a story.
We will be. I want to tell the story. I think it will be gory to tell the old, old story of Storyteller's Cabernet. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the comrade, Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu. Say das vidanya.
Das vidanya.
And see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.